And so Lead with Intent is the book I've got. Leadership Principles and Practices that Drive Engagement and Profitability, written by South African organizational behavior consultant, pastor, and lecturer, Herman du Plessis. Herman, how are you doing?
Hi, Janine. I'm fine. Thanks for having me.
Are you an early morning person or not?
As I get older, I'm an early morning person, but I used to be one of those guys who got up in the morning and I never said, good morning, Lord. I said, good Lord, it's morning.
Most. You've been a pastor for so many years. You know what our community is like, but we need to get to know you. Not when you wear like a jacket and you're standing on a pulpit and someone's writing a biography about you. When you're at home with no shoes and just being yourself, who are you there?
Well, I'm very happily married to Adele, my wife, who's a smart and beautiful lady. And we have a wonderful daughter. She's turning 7 tomorrow. Her name is Grace. And we didn't have to think long about that name, you know, because we really believe in the grace of God. And then, yeah, we really enjoy just spending time together. My wife is, I say, more of a busybody than me. You know, she's always busy in and around the house. I'm the more relaxed one. And I enjoy fishing. I must say that's my favorite hobby. You know, I believe the disciples were fishermen, and that's why I'm a fisherman as well.
Is that why?
Fishing. Yeah.
The disciples.
Especially fly fishing. You know, I think that's how I love to spend my time relaxing.
I'm sure as a pastor for all of those years, you need quiet times when you aren't rushed or stressed, where you can just, you know, quiet time.
Exactly. You know, I think that's so important. I think if we look at the rise of anxiety, especially in the church environment, especially under pastors, you know, I really think that is a big challenge, you know. And I think some of the principles and practices in this book actually speaks to that, you know, because I think a lot of the pastors out there, especially post-COVID, struggling with anxiety and what's happening in their churches.
You were a pastor for 13 years, but then you became an organizational behavior consultant. Why?
Well, you know, I really think it was the call of the Lord. You know, as a pastor, you work with a lot of businessmen, and they said to me, Herman, but you don't know what it's like in the corporate environment. You know, these things don't work there. And, you know, I really wanted to go into the corporate environment to understand what happens in the corporate environment. And I actually fell in love with it. You know, I really think the corporate environment is a place where we can really make a difference for the kingdom of God, you know, and I've thoroughly enjoyed my time in the corporate environment working with leaders. And to be quite honest, Janine, I've met the most amazing Christ followers out there in the corporate environment, living the principles and practices of Jesus Christ in the work environment.
Because your focus, the godly concept of servant leadership, it is something that you practice when you are a pastor as well. I mean, you're also taking leadership, but you also have to have this servant role, just like Jesus did. There are a lot of things that we have in common with any business out there if you run a church.
I think so. You know, I really think the principles stay the same. And if you look at academic research in the business environment, you know, the leadership principles and practices that get the best results are servant leadership principles and practices. You know, I've read academic article after academic article. I was lucky enough to work with the world's leading researcher in servant leadership, a guy who's based in Malaysia, who developed a servant behavioral leadership scale. And it was just fascinating to learn from him how servant leadership works in the corporate environment.
Okay, let's get practical. You do have 9 specific leadership principles and practices that you believe drives engagement in a workplace, such as what?
Well, you know, it's interesting how we got to these principles is we worked in a lot of corporates and we really got great results regarding engagement. And then some of our clients came to us and said, look, the teams you guys work with really get good results. Why do they get good results? And then we basically had to go and understand what we did to get those results. So we reversed engineered, we did interviews, we had forum discussions, panel discussions with all of these executives and senior leaders that we were. And then we ended up with 9 principles that these leaders specifically practiced. And once again, these are not our principles. We've actually learned them from our customers. So practically, the 9 principles that I discuss in the book is humility, psychological safety, rehumanization, gratitude, integrity, authenticity, resilience, innovation, and hope. And for each of these principles, I then explain how to practice it practically. So the book is structured in this way as well. I discuss what the principle is about. Then I discuss specific practices to actually practice the principle. And then we also discuss what the impact on your culture is in the organization. And that is what's interesting, is the impact of those leadership principles is engagement. And I mean, why is engagement important, Janine? If your people are engaged, they stick around in your business. If they stick around in your business, they build better relationships with your customers. If they build better relationships with your customers, they serve them better, and that leads to a more profitable business at the end of the day.
I'm just thinking, not everyone would be willing to apply these 9 leadership principles. I mean, you have met people who aren't Christians who are willing to apply them, and then there are Christian leaders who are not even willing to apply these ones. You call these people servant leaders, even godly servant leaders, the people who now take these principles and do them. If you could describe a godly servant leader, what do they believe? Who are they to help them to even have the capacity to follow these principles?
I think you make a good point, Janine, is I've met many people who aren't Christ followers who live these principles. And when I say to them, look, you're a servant leader, they actually disagree with me. And then I show them the research and then they agree with me. And I think you're also right when you say there's a lot of churches out there that should actually be practicing these principles, but they are not, you know, because the ego is a problem for people in the church as well as in the business environment. So I think a godly servant leader is somebody who lives with a profound awareness that they have leadership, not for themselves, but to serve others. You know, Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 8, that if you have received the gift and the opportunity to lead, you should lead with diligence. Very important. And I think a lot of leaders are not diligent enough. You know, you have to understand that leadership is not for your own career. It is really to serve your people. And the paradox, as we see with all paradoxes in the Bible, is if you serve your people, God will elevate you in the workplace. It happens every time. We see it happen on a daily basis when we work with leaders in the corporate environment.
I'm just thinking control is something that comes with that pride. My way has to happen now. The thing about respecting who your employees are, the people that work for you, is that it gives them the freedom to now be creative and even take initiative that they can't do when you have the kind of leader that feels compelled to micromanage people. Have you seen this play out?
Every day. You know, I think, and it's very unfortunate. You know, I think we, the misconception is that if I'm in control, I'm a great leader. The opposite is true. I need to empower people to be a great leader. And that's a lot of the work we do in the corporate environment. How do you help leaders to live these principles so that they can really empower their people to fulfill their potential, you know? And I think that's what the last principle is about, is hope. You need a leader who believes in you, who says your life tomorrow can be better than today, your career tomorrow can be better than today, and how do I serve you? I want to be an enabler for your growth and your success. I don't want to be an obstacle. And Janine, these principles aren't big things. That's the last thing I want to say. I think we underestimate the disproportionate impact of small things. If you look at the Bible, Jesus talks about the salt, the light, and the yeast. And that's what these principles are. You might look at them and think, this is not really going to make a difference. I want to challenge people, take these principles, put them into practice. You will see your workforce engage. You will see how people bring their best to work and volunteer their best in your organization, and you will become more profitable than you could ever imagine.
There's another word that you throw around when it comes to leadership, and that's authenticity. To be an effective leader, to be authentic. But to be authentic many times can be seen as being weak. I mean, to be authentic means you're not always in control and you do not always have the answers. Wouldn't that be something that would be perceived as weakness, especially in a corporate environment?
You know, not really. The first principle in the book is humility. And my suggestion, how do you practice humility? It's through vulnerability. And I think you have to be authentic when you are vulnerable. You have to own up and say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Guys, I don't know what to do right now. Let's get in a meeting room. Let's get into a Zoom call or a Teams call. Let's think about it. You know, I really think that these principles, if you start at the top with humility, is the only way to actually future-proof yourself as a leader, especially with the newer generations coming into the workforce, Generation Z, or as some might call them, the anxious generation. I really think these principles will be the only way to lead successfully and sustainably going forward in the corporate environment.
It does also seem that for you to be able to relate to these people, to have their best interests at heart, that you have to actually spend time with employees, maybe to get to know them better, for you to be able to serve them in the most effective way. You can't be leading from a distance anymore, can you?
No, I don't think so. You know, if you take a look at the changes in business, you know, everybody talks about ecosystem as structure and as strategy. I think if we embrace that as the future in business, especially after the fourth industrial revolution, you have to get a lot closer to your people. I think building teams, building effective teams, and the leader being a part of the team, not even leading the team, but being a part of the team is essential. And there's a big part of the book where, you know, I actually talk about that, is how do you just build decent relationships with people? I think in the digital age, some of us have neglected that ability, and it's time that we need to practice that again. Because going forward, I think those relationships that you allude to now is going to be very important.
I'm just thinking, it takes effort, doesn't it? I mean, this takes time that normally you wouldn't have to spend if you could just send a memo.
That's it, you know, and I think the best leaders we work with are the guys who put in the effort. But, you know, what you sow, you will reap. So at the end of the day, they reap people who are empowered, people who trust them. They reap guys who work hard. They reap guys who are productive and who stick around. You know, staff turnover is a huge problem. If you don't lead this way, you are going to lose your people. And you can ask any leader, you know, to constantly be looking for new people in your team. It's one of the most draining things for any leader to do.
I was just thinking, maybe someone who is a Christian does have a little bit of an advantage if you could actually ask God for his help. Because I'm just thinking, to employ someone that you don't know, they're sitting in front of you and you have this interview with this person, and they're just putting their best foot forward. You don't actually know who you're getting until you have them. That must be one of the most daunting things, I think, of being a leader, is to employ people that you know will be the stock, the quality that in the long term will contribute to your organization.
Exactly. You know, I think it's always a bit of a risk when appointing somebody new. But once again, you know, I think if you live these principles, you can get the best out of people. You know, and I think, you know, you can't look at people in front of you and think, I must use these people to generate profit. When you look at your people in front of you, those people are created in the image of God. They have a God-given potential. And your role as a leader is to serve them in achieving that, you know. And if you have that mentality going to work, I see very few leaders getting it wrong then.
So you wrote a whole book, Lead with Intent. If it's now sent out and you can't explain the story behind the book, what is it that you want to achieve when people have finished reading the whole book? What's that one thing that you want to stick with them forever?
Look, I think people will get a very practical toolkit with this book. And I think they will get an awareness of what they need to do to future-proof their leadership and to future-proof their companies going forward. This is the future of leadership. I really believe it. I really believe now is the time to live these principles. And I think if people work through the book, they'll think, man, this is so simple yet profound. I really think that's what people will be left with.
So if people want to follow you, social media, all of those places, if they want to keep abreast of what you're doing and also maybe future projects that you're launching, where do they go to?
Our company website is ttli.co.za. And then my personal handle on social media is at Herman Plessis. I left the do out. So it's at Herman Plessis. All our details are on the website. It's easy to get a hold of us. And to follow us. Our company is also on all the social media platforms. So people can just search for me on LinkedIn as well, Herman du Plessis. I'm sure they'll find me quite easily.
Okay, now for the last little question, I'm going to revert back to you as a pastor and you as a normal, everyday Christian walking this road with Jesus Christ, learning stuff the hard way. If you had to choose one thing of everything that you've learned in your walk with the Lord through all of the years, and you could speak to South Africa and encourage them with that, what would it be?
I think the most important for me in my walk with Jesus is to realize that I am a beloved child of God. If I have that picture of myself and I have that picture of God, it all starts with our image of God, Janine. If we can look at God and understand that he looks at us and sees us as his beloved child, that makes a massive difference in your life. And I think that's what we need to hear right now.
The perspective of who he is. We were talking this past week about trusting God, and that the better you know God, the better you can trust him. And the less you know him, the less you will trust him, and that makes all the difference. Thank you for your time. It's been precious. Lead with intent. Go find that book on all of the social media. Herman, that's Herman with two N's, by the way. Herman du Plessis on all of the socials, and then you can follow him and get a hold of the information that you need to be an incredible leader in your organization.